the thoughts, what it was like in, and what it was like coming out. Okay? So, postpartum. The definition, it says that it is a time after giving birth, and it can refer to both the physical and the mental health of the birthing place. The birthing place meaning the mother. There are physical changes that take place. Often, more so than not, some of the body returns to pre-pregnancy state. Two, after the birth, the psychological changes also take place following the pregnancy. There are some physical changes here that take place. The lower upper part of the lady's body that usually increases. We'll talk a little bit about that. The part, the birthing place, yeah, goes through some changes as well. And in fact, the whole body will go through some changes. And then we're going to talk about what the old people used to call the baby blues. Okay, so I'm going to open up by talking to Lexi first and asking Lexi if you could share with us, first, have you experienced this part?
I don't believe I did, but there has been like times where even like being like after feeling very lonely, like Erica said last time, there's times I felt really lonely, but I think she always made up for it. Erica was always my game too. Both times, well, I think, you know what, let me just say that I think after my first pregnancy with my daughter, I think I felt a lot of definitely felt alone. I didn't feel like I could go to anyone, and I knew my partner at the time was just not there. So it was pretty much I was a single mom to this newborn baby, never been a mom before, so it was like the changes were like really different. So I think I feel as though, like, yes, in a way, like after my first daughter was born. And then for my son, I don't think so, because I had a lot of people, like, in my circle. So I always felt like I always had somebody to go to talk to help me, but even through the day. So I definitely feel like I had a good second pregnancy.
Right. So the first one, if I hear you correctly, what you experienced at first, did that affect your mood? How you talk to other people? How you interact with other people?
I definitely feel that, yes. I definitely felt a lot of anger, because it was just like, I always thought, like, why won't anybody help me? Why won't anybody do this? Like, this was their baby. Like, not that it was just mine. Like, I was just very angry because I was always wanted to have this big family. I always wanted to have this. I want a partner to help me take care of my child. And I didn't have that. And I definitely felt like I was very angry, very sad, very not in the good mindset, not in the good head mindset.
I'm going to switch over to my left for a minute. Give you a breather so you can think some more. Can you answer that question? Have you experienced postpartum?
Yes.
Want to share some of that with us?
So last week I dove into it a bit. After having my son Tristan, I was already pre-diagnosed with mild depression. So like I don't want to say my depression was like severe, but it was more so like separation anxiety from my family because I had moved away. And then after having Tristan, it hit me like a brick, like 2 weeks after, his father had started going back to work, because I didn't have, there was like nobody home. So I was always alone. And then when his dad would come home, his dad was always tired, so like he wasn't spending as much time with me and Tristan, so like he would just go right to bed. It kind of made me angry because like I was always up with Tristan by myself every night. And you know, I understood like his dad had work, but like I'm up with Tristan like every other hour, like every 2 hours. I was losing sleep. I was just very exhausted. I felt like from the lack of his dad's help, but his dad was working, so like I understand like that now. But then I don't think he quite understood like what it felt like to be in my shoes. I had told him that I was feeling very like alone, that I couldn't like get out of this mind space. And he had said, I don't understand why you feel this way, but you have everything. Like, you have everything. Like, you have your baby. You're at home. You get to rest. You get to do this. You get to do that. And I'm like, you don't understand. Because you're not getting up with my son every night. You get to sleep as much as you want. You get to go out and do all this stuff. And I'm literally cooped up in the corner, breastfeeding my son, losing sleep, not showering every day. Like, it's a lot. And, like, I'm exhausted, but as soon as I close my eyes, I'm right back up.
Wow. I just heard you say something really, really important. I'm really important. But all of what you said is important, but wow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share just a little bit, and then we're going to unpack. We're going to try to pack some of this. We have a question before
I go. Yeah, I have a question because I heard you speak about your fiance not really understanding. And my question is, how do we help your partners understand what you're going through? Is it the lack of communication that's happening? Because sometimes even maybe you don't even know what's going on yourself. But I think the communication part plays a major role in it if we're able to verbalize what we're going through. Was that an issue for you? Did you verbalize it to him? Or did you understand it enough where you could?
I was very vocal. But I think what would help is more so like little things. Like, you know, if the room's dirty, like you just help pick up. Like just for me, it was like small things, like, you know, checking up on me, seeing how I was feeling, making sure like my mental state was properly taken care of. And little things around the house, like you can do. I think that like played a big, big role in mine. For me, it was just helping around the house and like just making sure like I was okay.
So here we go unpacking. Pastor Robinson touched on the communication piece. When you began, first of all, you both said the same thing. You didn't immediately start feeling this loneliness.
Right.
It took a couple of days. Which is not by what the medical industry says is not unusual or abnormal. If you may begin to deal with postpartum, it's usually about a couple of days after the deliverance of the baby. And it has a lot to do with the physiological effects of your hormones on your body that would kick in. I'm saying that so you understand that. You didn't just conjure this up. It just wasn't something you would just be mean to people.
Right.
It wasn't just something that you, your personality, selfish you. It
right.
wasn't that. There really are physiological effects that happen that we don't tell women about this whole pregnancy thing and delivery of a whole human being that takes place in the body. But a couple days later, because I'm sure that probably may have taken you a little by surprise. Because it was unexpected. You had the baby, you weren't like that. To 24 hours, you still in awe at this whole human that's before you. And then all of a sudden, something starts to sink So at that point, unless someone's training, you don't know that you need to communicate. Because you didn't know what was going on. You just started feeling something different. And we're going to stick with the loneliness. Loneliness because all of this was different and you were doing it. Or loneliness, this is unpacking this. Loneliness because it was a scary place and it caused you to be fearful. Loneliness because, I'll give you opportunities to kind of unpack it in your mind for now. Loneliness because you were expected in your mind to be at a certain thought, feeling, place from everybody else. What do you say? Any of those things, one of these things, what do you think made you feel that lonely?
All of them. Yeah, it feels that too. But I think one thing with me is I'm like, Pastor Rob was saying, I wasn't like Erica, I wasn't verbal. I never expressed my feelings to my partner at the time when it came to Nevaeh. I think I just like hid away my feelings because I felt like he didn't care about me. He didn't care about the baby. It was always in my head that he just doesn't care. I'm going to do this by myself. But then I realized I'm getting it for myself because here I want him to be this dad or step up to be this dad. But here I'm not voicing how I'm genuinely feeling, how I'm hurting, how I'm struggling to get the baby to sleep or I'm struggling to nurse. Like there was a lot of things I struggled with my first pregnancy than I did my second pregnancy. But when I came to my second pregnancy, now I feel like I'm using my voice. I'm telling you how I'm feeling. I'm telling you, like, hey, I need help. Like, and that, I think, is one thing that even me and other women have a hard time doing is asking for help. Like, as selfish as it sounds, like, I never always ask for help, and now I'm able to ask for help because it's hard. It's hard being a mom. It's hard taking care of not one child, but like two. So it's just was now being that voice and being that, hey, I need help. Like it's better now. I think mine was mostly fear. The fear of not being good enough for my son. I'm not gonna cry. I've always been like when I tell people like before I was pregnant, like I was always scared to be a mom because I never thought I was gonna be a good mom. And then after having Tristan, like the postpartum, like it really, like it hit me like a brick, like a car crash. Boom. And it just that fear just like popped in my brain. Because his dad was going back to work. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to, like, everything that, I'm a daycare teacher. Like, everything that I've learned here, like, it just disappeared. And then, like, everything just, like, my whole world just collapsed. Because I'm like, I can't do this by myself. I don't want to do it by myself. But nobody's here to help me at the moment. So, like, after Tristan was, like, a few weeks, I was coming here every day because I was scared of the unknown. I would never say I would hurt my child, but it was me. I was scared what would I do with me. I wanted to be the best mom I could. And I'm still trying. And I still am suffering from the postpartum. Like, it is no joke. And people really just, it's not talked about enough. At all. And I talk to his grandma all the time now because, like, she's like my number one fan. Like,
Like, she will always, like, she is my backbone when it comes to Tristan and his dad. Like, they are, like, they support me. They will take him off my hands when I need it the most. And, like, that fear, like, she tells me, she's like, you're a great mom. And, like, they hear it every day. And it makes my heart so happy because, like, part of me doesn't feel like I am. It's stressful.
You are. Okay. And you're going to have to keep telling yourself that.
Yeah.
Not because you just need to get over it, because it's true. Because God has already placed that in you. You would not be thinking you weren't good if you weren't good. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to just reiterate, because you talk about all of the things flooding you. And I made some notes. So the first few days of postpartum, you don't get just one thing. So you got to know this is real. Unlike other situations where someone says something to you and makes you mad, you get angry. So you only get the angry thing. Or you're starting a new job or a new place and you're a little nervous and you're scared. You get fear. Postpartum will bring on a multitude of emotional feelings and thoughts simultaneously. So I want to share that with you so you'll know, again, it wasn't you. Sadness, that was the loneliness you talked about. Worry that I'm not a good mom. Tiredness, the physical. It just comes on. It's not like you did anything. You just stopped here. Worthlessness. Worthlessness, and then the hopelessness. I just can't do this, and I'm not going to be able to do this ever. So I want to share this with you. God told me to tell you this tonight. And we, unless we are, we have people around us who are able to speak some things into our lives at the time, like you talked about. Even though we're there, we're going to talk about the man. The men out there might not like it when we start talking about this. But the truth is, there is, in the Word of God, there is a word that will help to trigger sometimes and counteract the negative feelings you're having. So in 2 Corinthians 12:9, I'm just going to share this one scripture with you. I know you both have heard it before. And he said unto me, that he is Jesus, God. My grace is sufficient for thee. But here is this powerful part of this week for those of us who may have gone to postpartum. And I'm going to let you read that out of the message Bible. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 1. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When we in the middle of that homeless feeling, we can't even imagine that there's something, somebody, I'm talking about God, who could be more so powerful he could pull us out of there. It feels like a place of abyss. Yeah, I get it. There we go. You get it. So I'm encouraging you with that word, because if you can't remember none of it, when those times come, and I'm speaking to all of you out there who may be going through some of this postpartum, there are some words from the Word of God that will encourage you or trigger some things in you to work. 2 Corinthians 9. Can you read that? Let me see what it says. Okay, read 7.
Okay. It says, because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angels did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees, no danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It is all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness.
So what that's really saying, in essence, I'll sum it up, is when we start to feel like that, we don't think that maybe we just should pray. Or maybe we should just read the word. Or maybe we should just reach out to somebody who will do that for us. Because that abyss can keep you blinded. That's what the abyss is designed to do. The enemy designed it to do, to keep you from being able to reach the place where God has given you the strength, or will be the strength for you to get out of it. But it's real. This is not to minimize what we're going through. This is so that you understand. This thing is really real. And it's not just real because we're talking about it. It's real because this thing, actually, the word talks about us having gone through it. And nobody ever tells us that. Nobody ever tells us that in the word. The word in Genesis tells us that we're going to go through pains and labor. We think pain means just physical pain. But the word, yes, I'm going to take a stand. How about, can you get Genesis for me? These sisters are something else. I just need y'all to know. They're something else. Go to Genesis. Let me see. Let's take a look. Oh, you'll be the first time to drop.
All right, so you want me to read? I got Genesis 3.
That's it.
And it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast on the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit and the fruit of the tree in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw,
I'll stop for a minute right there, just so that we can unpack this again. God set the perimeters so that we did not have to go through the physical and the mental suffering. He already knew what his plans were for us. So he set the perimeters for us so that we could have, when we multiply, because he told us to multiply, we could have a smooth multiplication process. That makes sense? Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took up its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God...
Stop. Thank you. I'm going to finish up. I just need to point this out, because it has everything to do with this, that thing called postpartum. Because of what they did, and they knew that they were wrong, they now were in a position that anything God had done that kept them from feeling the pain and suffering, they come. Now there was no protection in place. Y'all understand that? And so it's not that he was mean, and it wasn't that he was disciplining them. It was that he told them what the good and the bad results were going to be if they disobeyed him, and then they disobeyed him. So now they're starting to experience the disobedience. I'm going to, so y'all, you with me? Okay, so the first part of that was they covered themselves in leaves. God didn't tell them to put no leaves and cloth and nothing on them. And he never told them to do that. But go ahead.
But the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman whom you to me, to be with me. She gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is it that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock.
Stop. Read that piece right there.
Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. You, on your belly, you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offsprings and her offsprings, and he shall bruise his head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain.
Stop. God pronounced that our pain would be multiplied. That sounds so cruel, don't it? Come on, y'all. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. But that's so cruel. Coming from the person we call God, who's going to be loving you now. That sounds cruel. But he said, he told us in the beginning how much he loved and cared for us. He warned us what not to do so that we didn't have to experience any of that, and then we went and did it anyway. So he then tells you now what the consequences are of our disobedience. I'm not saying you were disobedient. I'm not saying you were disobedient. I'm saying our whole lineage is now disobedient because of what he did. So now we are now having to deal with some of the things because of what she did. Did that make sense? Come on, Pastor Rob, finish that one out.
He said, I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In the pain and pain, in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you.
Okay, stop right there. So in pain, he did not specify pain. We only think about pain when it
when the actual thing's going on,
right? Yeah, during the labor period. When we're actually, let me say this. We can have pain before that, too. I don't know. Some women experience physical pain as they are carrying. Okay, in the hospital, before you went to labor?
Yes.
Come on, talk about it.
When I was 5 months pregnant, I had went to a barbecue the Saturday before the pain started, and I woke up Sunday, I was fine. I was laying on the couch, and I sneezed. And I had this sharp pain shoot from left to right, and it stuck on my right side. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move off the couch. I literally crawled up the stairs. I'm like, maybe I just have to use the restroom. I sat for maybe 10 minutes and the pain just got worse. I laid in bed and bawled my eyes out. I couldn't breathe. I called my mom and she was like, we're going right now. Went to the hospital. They were like, oh, you know, it's just the baby. I'm like, this is not the baby. The baby is on my left side. You can see him hanging on this side. And they just kept telling me, like, let's give you Tylenol, give you Tylenol. And after a while, I had a heating pad, and the pain went away, went home that night, threw up everything I ate, and was back in the hospital. So they gave me an ultrasound, realized I had fluid just surrounding my kidney. And they're like, oh, you have a kidney stone. And I'm like, I'm in pain. I need help with the pain. And they're like, well, just give you a little, I don't remember what they gave. But it was something small, a small narcotic, we'll say that. And I was able to sleep, went home with an excruciating pain. They only prescribed the Tylenol, and I did that. Went back to the hospital, was admitted for an entire week, and was given very hard drugs to help with the pain. And it only lasted. Away, and they were like,
couldn't even, I can't be a specialist in this hospital. And I was like, I'm done being at this hospital. I'd rather be in pain at home. I'll just take Tylenol. And then after, I'm going to say, like, after my 6 months of being pregnant, like, the pain finally subsided on its own.
Yeah. 6 months? Okay, so you really gave us a great example of part of what happened after this fall for us. Okay. And we don't all experience pain or the discomfort the same way during childbirth. And we don't all experience all of postpartum. But the ability for us to experience it is there because of sin. That makes sense? Okay. So that was say I had to go that route. So those of us who have experienced postpartum would understand we did it, but we didn't do it. It's part of the price we have to pay in order to bring forth the human that God has given us to bring forth because of sin. Now that don't mean you did something wrong. We're not here sitting here to judge that. We're talking about the effects of postpartum. So the pain before and the pain after. So we've cleared that up. Let's move on to the piece about the communication, because that's where I really want to go. You talked. You said you did. Why were you born? She didn't talk. Okay, let's look at that. Okay. You talked. When you were talking with your partner, were you explaining what was happening or just what you needed to take place?
I was trying to explain how I was feeling. But putting it into words is very hard because I didn't understand what entirely what was going on in my brain. I just kept telling him, I said, the chemicals in my brain are not, they're not wired. I need you to help me. And he's like, well, can you tell me what's wrong? And I'm like, I wish I could. I'm like, I can't even explain it to you. I can't show you. I'm like, there's so big like that. It's so hard to put into words. And he's just like, then I don't know how to help you if you can't tell me what's wrong.
That piece right there is really important in that communication piece. Because typically, the male side can't understand it. It's not because he doesn't care. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's not because he doesn't want the baby. Physiologically, chemically, and spiritually, God didn't build them to understand it. And I know that sounds, I'm really about myself, right? Oh my God, I didn't know that. But that is not how God built him. He built man to be, the word says, the provider, to multiply, and to take dominion. So his job is built in him to do those things. We already told you what God said about what we were supposed to get, right? So in that same scripture, he told man that he was going to tool the earth. He was going to till the earth the rest of his life, and the earth would either have to yield all of his bounty, I'm summarizing, from the earth. That's what he proclaimed over man. So what I'm saying to you is very difficult when we're communicating, because we think we're communicating clearly, right? And you see me falling out, you see I can't handle this, come on, you said that. And they're supposed to understand, but that is not what God called them to do. Now I'm not saying men don't have compassion, that's not what he's saying. What I am saying is God called them to be the head, and so the ability to have compassion is not always immediately in effect when it comes to the childbirthing process, because they'll never experience. And sometimes understanding comes from the experiencing. Come on, Pastor Rob.
So I believe what you're saying is us being able to recognize where our true help comes. And the word tells us, Jesus said, I'm sending you another comforter. So too often we're looking for comfort in man, and man can't give us the comfort that we need. You know, and here in John 15:4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And so I believe a lot of that pain, because we all go through different pains, may go through some stuff that they don't even share themselves. But that comfort that we're looking for, we can't get it from the world or man. We got to turn to the true comforter who has the answer to what we need. And I think that's the part that, like you said, it's real tough to understand why we have to go through that. But it's not because of what we did. We were born in sin, you know, and now it's time for we have this opportunity. The closer we get in our relationship with God, some of those things that hinder us or make us feel a certain way, it would lighten a lot more the closer we get in relationship with Him and understanding God's will for our life.
I don't have a lot to say today, I guess.
Okay, so you talked about communication. How about we talk about the postpartum healing from the actual physical application of child rearing, meaning taking care of the child every day? How postpartum affect or didn't affect your ability to desire? The need to care for this whole new life God just placed in your hands. Struggles?
Yes, very much.
Life, could you share this with
me? I want to say for the first, probably until I got to work, back to work. For 2 months, I want to say like maybe a month and a half. Tristan spent most of his time laying in bed. Like, he spent a lot of time just laying in bed. Because I felt like that was easier. I wish I could have done more. But everybody wishes. That's, for me, that we spent most of our time laying in bed.
Do either of you at any given time think of reaching out to someone who might have some counseling ability? Or someone you could just talk with. Did ever?
I mean, unless you're talking about
we could be our own counselors.
I don't think so, no. When I brought you to here every day, I was in that influence. But every day in here, just to get out of my head space.
Because the Word of God tells us that He'll never leave us. And he, meaning God, never does. But He also gives us, places people in our lives for a time, for a season, for a reason. Sometimes He just has placed somebody in your life for a few minutes and help you get over that arm. You know what I mean? Like you said, young lady, you get in there and you can talk and feel a little bit better. Or your partner, when you came home, you could have a conversation.
At times, yes.
And other times?
Definitely.
But you had someone that you could speak.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always.
I'm going to encourage you both in this, because you're going to encourage young women. I know you are. That during those times, it's great to talk together. It's wonderful to know you have someone you can trust in. But at a certain point, you're trusting in each other and you both are sharing just what you know. About this now? You're sharing what each of you know? You're sharing what each of you know. There is somebody God will send to you that will share with you what God wants you to know. Well, Pastor Rob was talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, not only is it Comforter, the Word of God says that He will bring all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to you. So that when you, during those times, and I hope this is helping someone out there. When I mention prayer, if you seek the Holy Spirit, He will, not if He will, He will, because that's His job, come in to comfort you, and He will speak unto you to give you understanding much better than you thought you were going to. I mean, we're great. It's great to have family and friends, and it's important to do that. It is on this earth. He puts us in relationship with each other, and we need each other. But we need the Spirit of the Most High God the more so, because He will bring us knowledge from the Father that will help us to see things in the light God's showing us that will encourage us out of the pit. That makes any sense? So the other thing I want to say is, in postpartum, you know, most healthcare providers are able to give you help, not only in counseling, but they can also give you help in medications. I just left a conference today, and this came up in the conference, and they talked about how often women go to postpartum and need some assistance with some medication to get through it, and that is true. But if all you rely on is the medication, then you kind of swap out one pain for the next, which is different than when if you rely on the Word of God or the Holy Spirit, who will take you out of it, the Word says, and bring you into the light of the situation. I'm not trying to preach to you, I'm trying to give you tools to help. To help so you can help other. It's okay. Oh, she's so calm. So we're getting close to time to end up today. So I want to give you both opportunities. Now that you've overcome your postpartum, to share with us what was the key or the time or the situation that you think was caused the switch to come on and you came out of postpartum.
When I realized that I could do it by myself. That's, I think, when I realized it. Because I felt, because I raised my daughter by myself. I didn't have my partner, and I knew I didn't have my partner even all through my pregnancy. So I was going through a lot even before pregnancy, and then I was going through a lot even after, especially being with my daughter's dad. So I think it's when I realized, like, I had to grow up a lot, and I had to do it by myself. Something in me was like, you don't have to be angry at him anymore. You should be like angry at yourself because, like, you've been doing this since you were pregnant, since you found out you were pregnant. You've been doing this by yourself this whole time. When you asked for help, when you asked for things, and they just never, you know, came into play, it was, I think I already knew in my head, like, you got this by yourself. You have people that are going to be here to help you through whatever, like, you need. And even after, I think it still took me a long time. I think it took until, like, my daughter was, like, 11 months old for me to actually realize, like, you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to suffer. It took me 11 months. My daughter was 11 months old, and I finally realized, like, you got this by yourself. It took for something, I mean, traumatic to happen to my daughter for me to realize, you got this by yourself. Like, you got this. And one of the things that I will never forget is my go-to person, because this is one of, like, Harvest, like, finally came over to West, was Pastor Ray. Pastor and the ET, I was going through some things that I like felt alone, like very, very alone. And they opened their doors, I mean, opened the doors for me. Like they opened me with, I mean, open arms. And it changed, I mean, like my mindset a lot. Because I knew I could go to them, I mean, for anything. Like, I mean, anything. Like, I could go there just to, hey, like, I'm having a bad day. Like, let me just come in here and talk to you for a second. They really opened my eyes to let me know, like, you're not in this alone. I will help you in any way, shape, or form. And, like, for the 2 days that, because I was in the hospital with my daughter for 3 days, just for her to get, like, little treatments, for her to get scans, to find answers, they opened their door and let me talk.
I just want to say to you, you just sat here and summed up everything I just said about how God sends the Holy Spirit, and often it is through other people. You will hear that voice right here on earth. But you, oh my God, what a testimony of how God worked. And I'm going to say this, I actually do hear you saying to God, I need help. I'm going to say you hollered it, but I actually heard you saying, God, I need help. And he responded by sending the Holy Spirit to you, speak to you, and comfort you through two people here on earth, which was outside your sister. Not that we don't love her.
Yeah.
Okay. She was a visitor. So you just gave a testimony of how God, when we call out to him, which is where I was going to close that, when we call out to him, and I said this to you, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so he opened the door for you to have someplace, somebody, where you can get some relief. Praise God. Pastor Rob, we don't have long, Pastor Rob. We got a couple minutes out here. I want to hear what you have to say.
We got 7 minutes, so we got five. But I just want to share a scripture and just a statement that it says here, because I don't know nothing about postpartum, you know. And my mom had 6 kids, you know, and my wife had 2. So, but it says here, it says, so we do not lose heart. And this is 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. It says, so we do not lose heart. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. And it says here, the gospel is an extension of hope, reminding you not to lose heart. Your inner self is being renewed day by day in this momentary affliction, and the eternal weight is a comparison. And it's just saying to you that even though you're going through this, there's something that God is doing within you. And that's why she was saying, don't just seek out each other, because you only know what you know. And our God, the God we serve, is all-knowing. So there's no surprise that what you're going through, he knows what you're going through. And the closer we get to him and the more time we spend to him, he'll give us revelation on how we can overcome those circumstances and situations that we're facing. Because he has a big plan.
I can give you the opportunity to speak on that as well. Communicating on how you came out of it. I heard you say earlier, though, which is why I left, that you feel like you're still going through something.
I am. That's why I picked the topic. That was my cry for help. Yes. Because nobody talks about it. It is so, it gets pushed to the side too often. And most women usually do things the unspeakable. So this was my cry for help. Because I do not want to deal with it. I needed this a lot.
I'm going to We're so grateful because that was a boldness in God. Do you know that? That you would reach out to us to have this conversation, knowing what you're dealing with, and also knowing that that would make you have to expose some things. That took some godly courage.
When he said to pick the topic, I'm like,
yeah, that took godly courage. And so I just want to say to you, Pastor Ralph just read this book. The affliction that you're going to call postpartum seems like it's going to last forever. But it's not. Why? Because you've just exhibited how the Lord is working through you to bring you out of it, because you were able, you're now working to help other people come out. You wanted to, you sat here and explained, answered questions, cried, all of that, because that is the way God works. That's normally how we get out of the situation. When we are not so self-absorbed in it that we can't reach other people, it's when we're able to expose whatever's going on and then reach out to others for the help we need, because they need help too. That makes sense? Okay. So I believe, and I think those are here with us, and hopefully those out there also believe, that this is called the therapy line. And I don't mean that you can call us if you need therapy, don't get me wrong. This is called the therapy line. This is how God works right here before your eyes. When you don't seem to know anything else, these kinds of things, he works them out so that you're able to get the comfort you need to move out of what the enemy tried to hold you into. That's called breakthrough. So you may still, and we have some counselors here who can help you walk through some of this, but you may still have some residue of it. I'm believing that you don't, but do what you have just broke through by being able to expose, I'm going to use the term, but you don't like it, the enemy for what he is, and that he does not have that hold on you, either one of you, because you've already opened up the double story. The word says that we get delivered by testimony, and that deliverance starts right now. So I'm not saying that you may not have other things to do with it. We're all here to help. But God has just helped you walk through this deliverance. Tell me how you feel, and then we're going to read close.
It feels good to talk about it. Because it's the way it feels to feel.
So what we're going to do tonight may be a little different in closing while we're here. While I have my young sisters here with me, we are going to, the three of us are going to pray for those of you out there who may be experiencing postpartum and feel like you don't have anyone else to turn to. Because we are here because we know there's a God that can do all things but fail. We're talking about it because we can expose what's not godly so that it does not have a hold on you. We can also seek help because, as Lexi said, we have people who will talk, our pastor, other pastors, we have counselors here who will help you walk through this, give you the help, practical and scriptural, that work together to bring you out of whatever that situation is that may be causing you pain.
Like my grandchildren, you do that.
So we're going to pray and then we're going to close out. Before I close out, we thank you for being with us tonight. Please know that we're here every Wednesday night at 6. I'm hoping we can continue this one maybe one more time. I do have some information to share with you, and I know you have some more information to share with everybody else. But we want you to know we're here on Wednesdays. Come on out to Faith Harvest on Sundays as well. 10:30 service starts, and I just want you to know this is a place where we offer you God who loves on you and us. Come on in and join us. Our pastor is Dr. Raymond D. Williams, First Lady Letitia Williams. We welcome you into this place. Please know that our Pastor Rob says this all the time, so I'm going to coin his saying, ministry God, love is free, but ministry does cost. That only means that we got to keep the lights on, y'all. That's all I'm saying. By all means, if God lays it on your heart to give, please feel free to give unto us. There's a blessing in the giving. Amen. Father, as we close tonight, we thank you, God, for the breakthrough that you have ushered in into these, your people. Thank you, God, for the earnestness and the sharing. We ask you to bless Lexi. We ask you to bless her sister, God, whose name just escaped me. Lord, I ask you to bless these women who are willing and ready to help others, God. Bless this place, Father. Bless those whose ears have heard this, that they may know that there is a way of escape, even out of this thing called postpartum. May God bless you. May God's face shine upon you. God, may you be blessed in all your endeavors and safe throughout the day. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Erica. I'm sorry.